Our reading for today is from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who were dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So in our last reading, we had talked about 1 Peter chapter 3 and his comments regarding suffering for the sake of righteousness. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 3, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? And even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy. So he's been talking about this idea of suffering and persecution. He draws a parallel to Christ and looks at Jesus at the cross and Jesus when he was being scourged and being mistreated and said he didn't revile, he didn't take revenge, he didn't do anything to lash out at anybody. He just continued doing what was right, righteous, and good, and that we're to do the same thing. Then verse 18 through 22, he talks about baptism and it being the answer of a good conscience toward God. And then when he gets to chapter 4, he goes back to the idea of Christ's suffering. So, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. And so we're back to this idea of Jesus accepted the suffering in the flesh and did not allow that to pull him into any sort of a sinful behavior, but continued acting righteously. And we likewise should do the same. So think the same way, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now you might wonder what he means by this suffer in the flesh, and you'd pull up a commentary and take a look at it, and they're probably going to point you in the direction of Romans chapter 6, talking about being dead to sin, and the idea of suffering in the flesh would be that death to the previous way of life. So if we take it that way, then you're seeing a change in the way Peter is talking about the suffering. Before, it was suffering in terms of, well, people are going to slander you and they're going to persecute you despite the fact that you're doing what things that are good and righteous and moral and you're loving others and all those types of things. But then in chapter 4, he starts talking about being dead to sin. And that does fit with what he says in verse 2. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. So we can combine that with Romans chapter 6 that says, look, when you're baptized, you're dead to sin, you're alive to God. You stop sinning and you live a righteous life. So Peter here begins to say the same type of thing in a different way. Verse 3, the time that is past, okay, before you came to Christ, suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. And he's saying Gentiles, but he's talking about those that have not accepted God. He's not trying to talk about a nationality, but he's trying to give that general sense that the Gentiles were those that did not know God or did not follow God. So what were they doing? Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. Well, we don't use the word Gentile outside of our discussions of the Bible today. So maybe if I was writing this today, I might write it a little bit differently and say that, you know, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the worldly want to do, what the lost want to do. We might write it in those ways. But the point is, the time that is past, that time that you previously lived before coming to Christ, you know, you don't need to live that way anymore. You don't need to waste your time with that kind of behavior anymore. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. The worldly will malign you for not doing the same sinful things that they do. We see a lot of that today. He goes on in verse 5, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. They're going to answer for the way that they live their lives and the things that they do. Verse 6, this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. Now, verse 6, there's a couple of different interpretations of the way Peter is describing this. One is that the dead are those that were living in sin before they came to the gospel, and they're now Christians. And so it was preached to them when they were dead. The other interpretation is that it's talking about those that are worldly that haven't necessarily turned to Christ at all. I think either one could fit pretty much. I'm not sure exactly which way to go. I'm leaning toward that first one simply because of the way he ends the verse, that they might live in the Spirit the way God does. So I guess I look for it being a little bit more hopeful in the idea of that the gospel was preached to them, they made changes, now they can live in the Spirit. Then in verse 7, he starts talking about limited amounts of time now. You know, the end of all things is at hand. Okay, so if you know the end of all things is at hand, then what should you be doing? Be self-controlled, be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Peter seems to think a lot about the sake of your prayers and whether God listens to those prayers. And so he's making mention here, again, I think for the third time in this book, if I'm correct. Verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And love is really at the central of the gospel. We've seen that many times during our readings for this year. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. These are all things they needed to be engaged in because they know they have limited time. End of all things is at hand. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Versus how the worldly would do it. The worldly person who has a gift, they tend to want to put attention on them. And he's saying, use it to serve. Instead of exalting yourself, humble yourself and serve others. And he makes mention of a few different situations. One who speaks as oracles of God, one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. So whether you're speaking or whether you're serving, he's saying the point needs to be focused on glory to God through Jesus Christ. Then verse 12, he reintroduces the suffering again. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Now, I'm going to tell you that as we've worked our way through 1 Peter, I think that Peter is writing this because they're dealing with something fairly specific, but we don't know what it is. Now, that's just my thoughts in trying to attribute motivation, you know, why is Peter writing in one particular direction? But I think that's what's going on. There's something specific happening to them, and he wants them to know that it's not just happening to you. It happens to all Christians. It's happening to other people at the same time. So don't be surprised as though it's something that is unique to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed, that is, when He comes to collect His own. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If we're going to be disciples of Christ and be like Him and shine the light of Christ, then don't be surprised when the reaction to you is the same as the reaction to Christ. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. You know, don't suffer for doing sinful things. Do the right things, and then if you're going to suffer, you're suffering as a Christian, and you don't need to be ashamed of that. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? We're all going to be judged. Not a single one of us is going to be exempt from that final moment. We will all be judged. And if even the household of God is going to be judged, then what do you think is going to happen to those that aren't part of the household of God? Well, that judgment will come upon them. It'll be swift and it will be terrible. And then he quotes here from Proverbs 11 and verse 31, "If the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." If you're going to suffer, then place your fate in the hands of God. Don't worry about your fate now. Worry about your eternal fate. All right, we'll pick up in chapter 5 and finish up 1 Peter tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.